produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It's great to be back with you once again. We've had a little bit of a break here through the holiday season, and we've resorted to having some replays of past programs. This recording will be forthcoming, but I just want to alert everyone that we're actually recording this on the day before the Martin Luther King Celebration Day, and we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Recently, we had the opportunity to see a movie that is produced by a group that has made some marvelous movies in the past. They have created things like the Facing the Giants, War Room, Courageous, Fireproof. A couple of brothers, the Kendrick brothers, and some others have produced this series of movies over the last few years. And their faith-based approach to movie making has been astonishing. They began making these movies with their church group, and they discovered that many people wanted more of these movies. And so this has been a real success story with these two brothers and the movies that they've made. But the movie that we saw recently that really struck a chord with us is called Overcomer. And it's an interesting film about a basketball coach that's coaching in a little town. And they get news that the main factory in town is getting ready to be shut down. And all the employees that want to are going to have to move to another city to stay with that company. And so as a consequence, before you know it, the basketball coach has lost most of his team, and there's no basketball team to coach. And so he's talking with the principal, and the principal gives him a mandate and suggests to him that she wants him to be the coach of their track team, and so cross-country team. And so this becomes an interesting little process, because when it comes time for tryouts, there's only one person that shows up for the tryouts. And it's a young girl who happens to suffer from asthma. So the coach is completely befuddled by this dilemma and, you know, is telling the principal, I don't see the purpose of this. I mean, one girl, you know, one person, how are we going to make this work? And the principal convinces the coach that, you know, one person is important and he needs to do this. And so he agrees. And so the story goes from there. Now, the background on this story with this young girl is that her mother passed away a few years ago, apparently through a drug overdose, and her father abandoned her. And so she's been raised by her grandmother. And so she's led to believe that her father has passed away some years earlier. And by an interesting coincidence, we call these tender mercies of the Lord, because we know that with the gospel and with the Lord, there are no coincidences. Things happen for a reason. And so in the movie, the coach goes with his pastor to the hospital to visit a member of their congregation who's ill. And when they arrive, there's a large gathering of family and friends in the patient's room, And the nurse says, well, Pastor, we can only have you go in. There's too many already. And so the coach says, no, no problem. Well, it turns out he kind of gets bumped and ends up opening the door into a room and is greeted by a patient that's there in the bed who's blind, and they start having a conversation. Well, this is where things get very interesting. And a long story short, we ultimately find out in the movie that this gentleman that is there very sick, pretty much on his deathbed, but has some time left, who is blind, actually was from this town originally and had left a number of years earlier and had been into drugs and had had all kinds of bad things going on in his life. But somewhere along the way, he had an epiphany, and he was able to accept Jesus as his Savior and started his walk with the Lord. And so he's now a changed, a transformed man at this point in the movie. And through a series of conversations, the coach keeps coming back to visit with this fellow, because just happens this gentleman used to be a cross-country runner when he was younger. And so the coach is getting pointers from this patient. And as it turns out, the patient is the father of this one girl that is on the team, the cross-country team. And so that becomes a whole new dynamic to the process of identifying, who am I? Where did I come from? And why am I here? And so for this girl, the coach had a very important decision to make. And that was, does he tell her that he thinks that this gentleman in the hospital is her father? Or does he just let it go and not deal with that? And so ultimately, they tell her that her father is still living. They take her to the hospital. She has a brief visit, doesn't say a lot. But as she processes this development, because she had been led to believe that her father was dead, and so this was quite a shock to her. And so as a result, she starts realizing that she has roots, that she has an identity. And in the movie, we realize that her father is a different man. And even though he had become a junkie, a drug addict, had left his family behind, he'd gotten his girlfriend, the girl's mother, hooked on drugs. And as a consequence, she died of an overdose. He had a lot of guilt. And so therefore, there was a healing process that is about to occur. But there's quite a dynamic at work in this movie, because the grandmother, whose daughter was the young lady that died of an overdose, absolutely hates this man. And when she finds out that her daughter has seen, her granddaughter rather, has seen the father, the man who caused her daughter's death, she gets very angry with her granddaughter. She gets very angry with the coach and his wife, and also with the gentleman that was her daughter's boyfriend. Well, Hannah, the young lady, has a very profound point in the movie, where she goes into one of the classes where they're having kind of tryouts for speeches. And she stands and gives a very empowering speech about who she is. And I'll read this one brief statement that she made that is amazingly powerful. So she comes into the room, and the coach, you know, looks over at her and asks, what do you want? And he had asked her before, you know, who are you? And she said, who am I? I am created by God. He designed me. So I'm not a mistake. His son died for me just so I could be forgiven. He picked me to be his own, so I'm chosen. He redeemed me, so I am wanted. He showed me grace, just so I could be saved. He has a future for me because he loves me. So I don't wonder anymore, Coach Harrison. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And that, my friends, is the truth that all of us need to recognize, that each and every one of us, literally, we are a child of God. And we find our identity when we recognize that, and we enhance that identity when we find a relationship with the Lord, and we find our identity in the Lord. Now, many times people live a life that is not as fulfilling as they would like it to be because they have their heart set on priorities that aren't giving them the best results. So the key is to remember that our identity is tied to who we give or what we give our heart to. Something or someone will always have a priority in our hearts. And obviously, if we have the Lord and our Father in heaven as the priority, and we give our heart to the Lord, that will change us forever. We will become new creatures in Christ. Now, in this movie, there's a great lesson also about forgiveness. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about because God has forgiven us, we must forgive others. And this process of forgiveness becomes quite a challenge for the grandmother, but ultimately it all works out. And I won't say any more about the movie. If you've not seen it, I don't want to create a spoiler alert, but it's a wonderful movie, and I would encourage you to see it. We rented it from Redbox. We had wanted to see it when it was out in the theaters, but we just didn't have the time and the circumstance to be able to go and see it in the theater. But I recommend it highly. Now, because of the movie and the quotes and the dialogue, there are a number of principles that can be garnered about leadership. And I've identified through a website link that promotes this organization that produces these movies. And some of the quotes from the movie deal with leadership. For example, Coach Harrison gave the basketball team at the school a pep talk the last game of their season. There were seconds remaining and the team was down 6 points. That's 2 3-point shots to tie the game. He pulled his team together. He shared a plan that would keep the pressure on the visiting team, a plan he hoped would win the championship. The plan was clear. The team knew what to do. After the talk, the team went out and executed the plan. I won't describe exactly what happened after that. But when sharing our plans for our churches, our organizations, our families, we can easily muddy the plan. We can give extraneous details that won't help communicate the plan. So we need to get rid of the fluff. To be effective, we have to make sure the plans we lay out are clear and understandable by everyone. So tell your team, tell your family that you're proud of them. Despite the clear plan, Coach Harrison's team lost the championship game. They walked away as losers. Yet in Coach Harrison's eyes, the boys weren't losers. They had played a great game and he was proud of them. So he shared his pride with his team. He let them know how proud of them he was and how thankful he was to be their coach. Great leaders know they have to share how proud they are of their team with their families. Likewise, parents, we need to let our children and our grandchildren know how proud of them we are. And so they recognize that they are a person of worth, that their self-esteem is increased. And help them to understand who they are, where they've come from, why they're here, and ultimately, where are they going? So the people on your team, remember, in your family, are people. They long to be told how good they're doing or how proud of them you are. Don't hold back your positive feelings about your family. They need to hear it from you. Another principle, go the extra mile. The city where Overcomer is set and has lost a major manufacturer. A plant was closing down and people were moving away. This meant the school was going to lose a large portion of the student body. It also meant teachers and faculty were going to leave. Because of the loss of students and faculty, the principal asked the coach to step up to coach the cross-country team. They needed someone to coach, and he was there. And as mentioned earlier, he reluctantly accepted the position, not because he wanted to, but because he was a leader who went the extra mile when needed. You will be called upon to do things outside of your title and role. Will you be willing to step up and go the extra mile? Great leaders are willing to step up and go the extra mile when required. They often know this won't be a permanent thing, but a temporary sacrifice. Be willing to go the extra mile. Now we can apply that to families, obviously. Parents typically, without even thinking about it, go the extra mile to provide for their families, the material things of life. But in listening to a talk recently, a nurse who was a hospice nurse had a habit of, as she was dealing with dying patients, to ask the individuals what their greatest regret was. Funny thing, no one ever told her that they wished they had spent more time at the office. Almost to the person, they always said that they wished they had spent more time with family and friends and those individuals that were important to them. So when we have relationships, we need to nurture those relationships. Sometimes we have to go the extra mile to make the effort to stay in contact, to have a regular means of communication, to go out of our way to have visits and to do things together. That's going the extra mile. Now, we should never lose sight of the importance of the one. And in this movie, they clearly indicate the importance of how every single person matters. Even if you're only working with one individual, speaking or teaching or leading that one person, they matter. One person matters. Leadership lessons from this movie are very invaluable. So don't get discouraged when things don't go right or things don't seem to have much impact. Know that your work matters. If you touch one person in your leadership position, they matter. Your work matters. Be willing to impact one person. In our church, we did not have a paid ministry. And so the men of the church serve as ministering agents, and the sisters in our Relief Society organization serve as ministers as well. All on a volunteer basis, no one is paid, even though there's a presiding authority known as a bishop with counselors. No one is paid, but each individual has a companionship with another individual, two men together, two sisters together, are assigned specific individuals and families that we minister to, and we visit with them and stay in contact with them on a monthly basis. And so that emphasis, you know, to leave the 99, if you will, and go after the one, that is a mandate that has been given to us by the Savior himself. So never, ever forget about the one. The one is always important and is always important for us to be sure that we're going the extra mile. We listen so that we can learn. The coach, you know, went to the hospital with his pastor and had this accidental encounter with another patient. Patient's name was Thomas Hill, who'd been a runner. Now, when the coach discovered that Thomas had been a runner, he asked Thomas for his advice in coaching runners because the coach had never been a coach for cross country. So this was something new for the coach, but old hat to Thomas. And as the coach listened, he learned what it took to coach runners. He learned running tips and tricks. More than that, he learned he needed to listen to learn. So my question to all of us, are we willing to listen, to learn? You know, the Lord gave us, our Father in heaven gave us two ears and one mouth. And I remember as a teenager, a gentleman that was one of our youth leaders used to talk about the reason why he's given us two ears and one mouth is so that we can listen twice and speak once. So by listening, especially to those who have gone the path before us, we can learn from their experience and hopefully avoid making as many mistakes for ourselves. And so that process of allowing our vessels to be filled with the knowledge and the inspiration that we can receive from others, mentors, parents, grandparents, extended family, friends, others, you know, leaders at church or in our workplace. That helps all of us to become better people because we can learn from others. As our time is growing short, I want to kind of shift gears here a little bit. And that is when we talk about leadership and, you know, being that one voice out there that makes a difference. At the time of this recording, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. And living in Memphis, of course, there's a lot of history with that, as many recognize and remember. Martin Luther King in April of 1968 was assassinated right here in Memphis. And January the 17th, I'm sorry, Martin Luther King, if he were still living, would be 91 years old. And many, 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 many of us have heard and have been inspired by the words found in his I Have a Dream speech. And so I want to share a little bit of that with you, the audience. Even though you'll be hearing this a week after Martin Luther King Day, it's a legacy that we need to be reminded of and to be inspired. And remember that he, at I think the age of 39, was murdered. Short life, fully lived. And deeply, a man deeply missed. So here we go. At the end of his speech, he said, "I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men," President Pence in his speech at a local church on Sunday, at the Holy City Church of God in Christ, said, "All men and all women are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and little white girls as sisters and brothers. Remember, folks, we are all children of Heavenly Father. We are all brothers and sisters." He goes on to say, "I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation." Wow. timely even now. The jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with a new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the crevasses slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank Almighty God, we are free at last." Powerful words spoken many years ago, seemingly even more timely and powerful today in so many ways. I truly hope that all of us may reflect upon our attitudes and our perspectives as it relates to people that are different from us, whether it be gender difference, race difference, religion difference, doesn't matter. We are all God's children. We are literally brothers and sisters. And of this simple truth, I testify boldly in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.